There's an army rising up. Do you know that? We're in a spiritual war. There's an army rising up, and this army doesn't fight with traditional weapons of war. This army fights with a sword, and I'm holding it up. This is the sword. It is undefeated and will remain undefeated in battle. And it all operates under a king in his authority, and it is his word. And his name is Jesus, and there's power in the name. So what better way to start than everybody, let's say that name on the count of three. One, two, three.
Jesus.
Let's do that again. One, two, three.
Jesus.
There's power here to break every chain, every stronghold, every addiction. Every past can be broken by this name. I've got two things I'd like to cover before I get into the teaching part today. The first is for the lollygaggers in the room. There are still people in this room that have not sent in pictures. I cannot believe this. We're asking you to take a picture of yourself, email it to will@ninevachristian.org so we can finish up this database thing, and please do that. The second thing is we're starting next Sunday this foundations class during the Sunday school time. 9 o'clock is one choice. The other choice is 10:30. It's the fundamentals of the faith. And if you're coming to church here and you're a little unsure about the fundamentals of your faith, this class was developed for you. So you can sign up online or in the Welcome Center, but get plugged in. You'll need this sword. Some point in your life, you're going to need this sword. Well, that class teaches you what this sword is. So I begin today with a question. Do you like salt? Morton salt. Been around a long time. Do you like the taste of salt? I do. I really do. Does the human body crave salt? In other words, is there something inside of us that we don't even really understand that tells our brain, you need to put some salt on that? You need to have some salt with that. Is that why you like it? Because something inside of you is actually crying out for it? Like, you need this? Like, something inside of me tells me when I need a drink of water. There's something in there, I don't know what it is, but it says, drink. And I drink and I'm satisfied. And there's something inside of me that says that there needs to be salt. There's something missing, and I take salt and I'm satisfied. So the reason I ask that, can you live without salt? A lot of people don't know this. Can you live without salt? Now, I realize you can consume too much salt, but can you live without salt? Let me give you some truth today. Salt or sodium is an essential nutrient, but it is something that the body cannot produce itself. In other words, we have to have salt to survive, but your body doesn't make salt. You got to get salt from the outside of you. It doesn't come from inside. It plays a vital role in the regulation of many bodily functions and is contained in body fluids that actually transport oxygen and nutrients throughout the body. It is also essential in maintaining the body's overall fluid balance. Salt regulates the fluid balance of your body. To survive, everyone needs to consume salt regularly. Now, I remember growing up when I was in high school, we had summer football practice in August, and they used to give us salt tablets. And we would just suck down these salt tablets. I think you'd go to prison for doing that now, by the way. But we used to just put out salt tablets because why? Because these athletes were sweating so much and we were getting cramps, and they would give us salt tablets. They didn't care about our high blood pressure. They wanted to win football games. To survive, everyone needs to consume sodium regularly. It is a principal component of a person's internal environment, the extracellular fluid. Nutrients reach your body's cell through these fluids. Sodium facilitates many bodily functions, including fluid volume, acid-base balance, all of it's controlled by the amount of salt in your body. Here's the truth. All that scientific stuff, you cannot live without salt. You will die without salt in your body. Do you know that? An adult human body contains about 250 grams of salt. Now, I won't put that in scale. It's about a third of this container of salt is inside of you right now. That much salt. You're a salty person. That much salt's in you right now. You must consume salt to stay alive. It's a physical fact. Sodium enables the transmission of nerve impulses around the body. The presence of sodium is essential to the contraction of your muscles. That's why if you don't have enough salt, you'll get charlo horses and it hurts a lot. Including the largest and most important muscle in your body. You know what that is? Your heart. Salt. It is fundamental to the operation of signals to and from the brain. Salt. Without sufficient salt, your senses would be dulled and your nerves would not function. Your body does not produce salt. All of that necessity on the inside of this physical body, and yet your body doesn't produce salt. You must consume salt to stay alive. So you've got to get it from a source outside of you. Salt is necessary for human life, and you will die without it. Did you know that back in the frontier days of America, they built their forts near two things, necessities. You know what they were? Of course, there's water and salt. If you ever go to Boonesboro and get the tour, or go to Fort Harrod and get the tour, go to these forts and get the tour, you know what they'll tell you? They had to find a place where there was a salt lick nearby. And they obviously had to have water. You need both water and salt. Let me prove that to you. Go home this afternoon or this evening before you go to bed and eat a country ham sandwich and go on to bed. You'll find out about 2 o'clock in the morning when your lips won't open that you need water to go with salt. Salt is all of that, but there's a second part. Salt is also a preservative. Salt has the power to halt or to slow down the decay. That's how country ham survives without refrigeration. I know when you look at that ham hanging up there, you think it isn't surviving, but it is. Why? Salt has the power to halt or slow down decay. So let me give you these two truths. The human body needs salt to survive. And salt halts decay. You need it to survive, and salt can halt decay. You could say that salt is a major source of life. Salt preserves human life and holds back the decay of flesh. It holds it back. It can stop it, at least for a while. All of that science lesson today and history lesson today is to get us to the main point. It is from the Gospel of Mark. Mark's gospel has a salty statement of Jesus, and the reason why I find it particularly interesting is it is not included in any of the other gospels, only Mark's. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Luke, and it's not in John, just Mark. In fact, Mark records the salty statement of Jesus as a source of life event, and that's where we're going today. So I began in Mark chapter 9, verse 49, with this statement from our Lord Jesus Christ. For everyone will be tested with fire. Now, I'm going to tell you before we go any further, that's the New Living Translation. All the other major English translations say everyone will be salted with fire. But I'm using the NLT on purpose because I want you to see that the meaning of the salting is the word tested. Everyone will be tested with fire. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You can't. You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. Now, this is the word of the Lord. This is life. This is truth. You must have the qualities of salt among you. Now, most English translations will they'll put both words either or, salted or with fire, or tested with fire. Thus, the title for today, Salt and Fire. Salt is a one and done ingredient. You ever thought about it? It goes into the human body, it tastes, has flavor, it helps sustain our life, and then it goes out of our body as human waste. It's one and it's done. When you use it as a preservative for meat to stop decay, you can only use it once, and then it's one and it's done. You throw it away. Jesus reveals a spiritual worldwide truth, and here's the point today. Everyone will be tested and salted with fire. Do you understand that? Can you understand that statement of Jesus? Do you want to understand that statement of Jesus? Everyone on planet Earth throughout history is going to be salted, tested with fire. I want to study this section of Mark's gospel today so we can understand what Jesus just said, this powerful life and death truth. Everybody's going to be salted with fire. Everybody's going to be tested with fire. You and I, everyone on earth will be tested with fire. And Jesus says salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? So here's the big question. Will the fire of testing take away your saltiness? I'm going to say it again. Will the fire of testing, everyone's going to be tested in the fire. Will the fire of testing take away your saltiness? This is a revelation from Jesus in Mark chapter 9. You must, he says, you must have the qualities of salt among yourselves. And what are those qualities? Do you know? You need salt to live. You can't live without salt. Salt holds back decay. This is the function of the life-giving salt. Truth. Bearing Church of Jesus Christ. There is a spiritual and a physical picture inside of this same event. Physically, you and I in physical bodies can't live without salt. You'll die. And salt is holding back decay. It is a preserve. It preserves our life. You take salt out of your life, you'll die. It's a preservative. It sustains life. But it also is a spiritual picture being used by our Lord. It sustains your life. It holds back decay. And here's the thing. Listen carefully. We can't produce salt in and of ourselves. You have to get it from somewhere else. Something external to your own body. The Gospel of Matthew connects salt to the function of the church itself. Now here's the spiritual and the physical being put together. We've talked about the physical in the body, but what about the spiritual? Matthew's gospel records these words of our Lord Jesus, Matthew 5:13. Remember, we don't produce salt inside. You got to get salt from an external source. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor, lost its saltiness? Can you make it salty again? I'll answer the question. No, you can't. It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now he takes a second analogy. You are the light of the world. You're not just salt, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. In other words, this salt and this light are not your little private secret. Let your salt and your light shine out so that it flavors your community and lights the darkness around you and gives glory to your Father in heaven. That's important. The church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Individually and corporately, we're the body of Christ. It's not this building. It's the people inside of this building. We are the body of Christ. The salt in us is Him. He is the salt inside of us that makes us the salt of the earth. The church is right now, listen, this is really important. The church is right now holding back the decay of this planet. That's what salt does. The church right now is the only thing on earth holding back the decay, holding back the death. How? Salt and light. Salt stops the decay and light stops the darkness. And if it were not for the church, the decay would lead to sudden death and the darkness would overtake everything and everyone. Right now, there's only one thing holding back destruction, death, decay, darkness, utter darkness. The salt of the earth and the light of the world, the body of Christ. But the world doesn't like the taste of this Jesus salt. Have you noticed? I have. And the world doesn't like the truth of this Jesus light. They don't like it. We need to come to grips with that right now, that they don't like it. The message of the cross, the Apostle Paul reveals the message of the cross, which is the salt and the light that we stand upon today. The message of the cross is foolishness to the world that is perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Why? Because it sustains my life and it holds back death. Holds it, has the power to hold back death. What do we do in the midst of this world's rejection of salt and light? What do we do? Jesus says that let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So in the midst of the revelation of you're the salt of the world, you're the light of the world, in the midst of that revelation, he says, let it shine, let it flavor, let it go. It brings glory to my Father. It's not your personal secret. So what do we do in the midst of the fact that the world has rejected the salt and the light that we embrace? Everybody listen. So what's the church supposed to, what are we supposed to be doing on the world? What do we do in the midst of the world's rejection of salt and light? That is the fire. Everyone will be salted with fire. The world's opposition to salt and the world's opposition to this light is the fire of testing. And everyone will be salted with fire. To see if you're salt. Why did Jesus say everyone's going to be tested with fire? Salted. Why do you use the word salted with fire? Everybody listen. To see if your salt is real. To see if it's genuine. If it's really Him. If it's really Christ in me. Christ in us. His church. Everyone's going to be tested in this fire. And the test usually comes down to this fundamental truth. Will you go along with the saltless world? Because see, they don't like the taste of this Jesus salt, and they don't like the application of this light called truth. Will you go along with this world? That is the fire of testing. Will you go along with the world that has rejected the salt and the light to see that is the fire, that is the salting? It is the fire of opposition that refines your faith. I can look back at my life and I can tell you that many times in my life it is the fire of testing, the fire of opposition that has made me stronger in my faith. But I'm going to tell you there's another alternative. It is also in that same fire of opposition that your salt could be lost. And you can go along with the world to try to make peace with the world and actually surrender your salt to the world and lose your saltiness. And if you are the salt of the world and you lose your saltiness, what good are you anymore in the world? It is the fire of opposition that refines your faith, or it removes your faith, your salt. God uses this fire to strengthen your faith, proving that your faith is real, proving that your faith is true salt. It is from Him. In 1 Peter 1:6, here's how He explains it. So be truly glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials. Can anybody hear Jesus saying, everyone's going to be tested with fire? So find great joy knowing what your future holds, even when you've had to endure many trials for a little while. Verse 7, these trials will show that what? These trials, this salting of your faith, salting in the fire, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world, and that day is coming. So what if your faith doesn't remain strong? He says, if your faith survives the fire of testing, it will bring much glory and praise to you on the day that Jesus is revealed to the whole world. But what if your faith doesn't survive the fire of testing and everyone's going to be tested in the fire? What if it doesn't survive? What if you lose your saltiness? What if you surrender your salt in order to go along with the world? See, I'm convinced we're in this spiritual battle. I think it's all about a spiritual battle. And here's how I view it. Let me just personalize this. I look at the world, and the world looks at me, and I say the world, I mean those who do not have the salt. And they don't like the taste of the salt that I have in me, and they don't like the light of the truth that I bear witness to through the Word of God. And they don't like either. And the world looks at me and says this: give up your salt and we'll be friends. Just give up your salt. And I look at the world in return. I look at the world because I understand how this thing works. The world looks at me and says, you want me to give up my salt to make peace with you? And you tell me that if I'm willing to give up my salt, that thing that you have rejected, that person that you have rejected, that source of life that you have personally rejected, you want me to give up my salt to make peace with you? There's a fundamental problem revealed through the Word of God, but I'll die because I can't live without salt. And you want me to give up the very thing that sustains my life and holds back death? The very thing? I'm the salt. You want me to give up my treasure to go along with you? So I would look at the world and say, can you preserve my life? Can you hold back death? No. So no. You see, I know the truth. Do you know the truth? Everyone's going to be tested in the fire. And in the fire, the world wants you and I to give up the very thing that holds back death and gives us life. No, I'm not giving you my salt. Why in the world would I give you my salt? Let's read it again, Mark 9:49. For everyone will be tested, salted with fire. Salt is good for seasoning. You think Jesus is talking about food here? Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Next screen. You must. This is the word of God. Do you understand? He's trying to save your life. And the world's trying to take your life. You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other. So first thing, you got to make sure you get salt in your life. That brings you peace with God. But how can salt in my life bring me at peace with others when others don't like my salt? Listen, when I look at the world that has rejected the salt of Christ, listen, the unbelievers, they're not my enemy. I'm at peace with them. They're not my enemy. So my battle's not with them. I wish all of them had this salt. I'm going to tell them about this salt, but I'm not going to dislike them or hate them. I believe our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities in this dark world, against Satan himself. So I'm asking everybody today, do you have the quality of salt? Life-giving, decay-halting power inside of you right now, right now. Can everybody in the room say, yep, I'm full of salt? Is that you? The church has the gospel message of Christ. The power to give life and the power to stop decay. Do you understand that? The church has in its possession the power to sustain life and the power to halt death. It is called the gospel. It is the salt that comes from outside of us, from heaven itself. It is external. Do you believe that the gospel gives life and stops death? This Jesus saltiness survives the test of the fire. This Jesus saltiness survives the world's opposition. It survives the world's rejection. I tell you today, Jesus is the salt. Jesus is the light. And Jesus is the power to stop death and decay. And here comes. And the world has rejected him. He is the light. He is the salt, the power over death itself. And the world has rejected him. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it's not that at all, right? To us, it is the power of God sustaining my life, stopping death, holding back decay. If you have Jesus inside of you today, I tell you, you are salty. And the same world that rejected him is going to reject you. And if the world tells you we can be friends if you'll give up your salt, you need to understand in advance what you are giving up. You are giving up life for death. If you have Jesus inside you today, you are salty. I'm going to say it again. And the same world that rejected him is going to reject you as long as his salt is in you. That is the testing of fire. That's it. You want to know what it is? That's it. It is standing against the opposition. That is the salting of fire. Or there's another option. Some of you may have already taken it. I don't know. You can just go alone. You can just go alone. Jesus said this in John 15:18, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Because I'm convinced the only reason I'm a likable guy, I think the only reason the world would hate me is because of the salt that's inside of me. And I won't go along and give up my salt. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you give up your salt. The world would love you as one of its own, but there's something wrong. You know why? Because there's something inside of you that separates you from the world. It is this salt. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of this world. I chose you to come out of the world. So when you come out of the world, it hates you. Today, Jesus says, come out and get salty. Just come out and get salty. Now I got to tell you, everybody kind of mark this point, because this is when it really gets interesting. I started with the end of Jesus' teaching in Mark chapter 9 on purpose. Now I need to go back and show you the fire that's going to test your faith. I want to show you the fire that's testing the faith of churches all around the world right now. What I'm about to read to you should make you love the taste of salt. What I'm about to read to you describes what's going to happen to people who try to stop the salt shakers. What I'm about to read to you is a prophetic announcement of what will happen to those who end up without any salt. It's gone. And by the way, anybody notice that when you go to a restaurant today, you have to ask for a salt shaker? A coming fire of judgment is going to fall upon those who lead people away from this life-giving salt, this decay-halting salt. And what I'm about to read to you is in the exact same context. I'm not jumping around. It's all in the same context of Mark chapter 9. As Jesus saying, and everyone will be salted with fire. What would that look like? So let's go back up to verse 36 and connect the dots. Then he put a little child among them. He's Jesus. Jesus brings a little child in. Taking the child in his arms, he says to them, to the crowd, anyone who welcomes a little child like this one on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the Father who sent me. And John said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he wasn't in our group. Don't stop him, Jesus said. No one who performs a miracle in my name will soon be able to speak evil of me. And here it comes, verse 40. Anyone who is not against us is for us. And if anyone gives you even a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will surely be rewarded. Now, all of this story, it's important you understand this whole story, this context that ends down here with Jesus saying, everyone's going to be tested with fire. All of it begins with Jesus taking a child and bringing the child unto himself and says, if you welcome, if you embrace, if you take care of this child, it's like you're welcoming me. And if you're welcoming me, it's like welcoming my Father, because all three of these connected, the child and me and the Father. If you welcome one, you welcome us. Shows you the value that Jesus sees in children. And don't miss it. That's how this thing starts, with him bringing the child. And he says, salty and non-salty. Let's make something clear. John says he saw someone casting out demons, but they're not one of us. It's not our group. And we tried to stop them. And Jesus says, don't try to stop them. Jesus is announcing a spiritual truth. There's salty and there's not salty. Let's make something clear. There's two choices. There's two spirits. And no one is neutral. No one will be neutral in this discussion. You either have salt or you don't have salt. You have the life-giving, sustaining power of Christ or you do not have the life-saving power of Christ in you. And by the way, Jesus offers a reward for those who give a cup of blessing to his salty people. Now for the fire. Everybody listen. This context is this statement at the end. And everyone will be salted or tested with fire. What would that look like? Let's go to verse 42. Next verse. If you cause... Remember how this started? Jesus has brought a child over. Welcome the child, you welcome me. Welcome me, you welcome the Father. If any of you cause one of these little children, one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hung around your neck. And if that's not bad enough, getting thrown into the sea with a large millstone around your neck, verse 43 says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fire of hell with two hands. Jesus is saying, if you remove the salt from these children, anybody listening? Jesus says, if you remove the salt from these children, they will die, and that will bring God's fiery judgment upon you. There is a fire that refines our faith. There is an opposition that can even make your faith stronger. But I'm going to tell you the truth today. There's also a fire that destroys, bringing the wrath and judgment of God called hell. It's real. When I read that teaching of Jesus just about a week or two ago, I thought about something that I have to communicate today. When I read that story of Jesus, when Jesus equates leading children into sin to a millstone around your neck, leading children into sin, it would be better you cut your hand off than to lead one of these children into the darkness. When I read that, I thought about the public schools in America today that are now teaching children to accept and embrace homosexuality, transgender, LGBTQ agenda as normal. And where's the church? Where's the church? How did this happen? This is normal. Let me give you a specific. This month, actually, I can tell you the date, September 2nd, the Democrat-led California General Assembly has okayed legislation that would ease the criminal prosecution. They would ease the criminal punishment of LGBT adults. I apologize in advance for having to read this. That would ease the criminal punishment of LGBT adults who sodomize or perform oral sex against underage teenagers. Senate Bill 145 in California was approved by the state Senate. Are you ready? 23-10. Making it legal. And by the way, the most interesting part of all of this, at least to me, is that same natural male-female sex in that age group will still be illegal, but only homosexual sex will be legal now. It passed the Senate 23-10 and passed the General Assembly in California by a vote. Are you ready? 41-18. And I hear Jesus saying this, if any of you would cause one of these children to fall into sin, it would be better if you had a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the sea. And at the end of that sentence, he says, and if your hand that would lead one of these children into the darkness is leading them, cut your hand off. Because it'd be better for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one hand gone than to go into hell with both of them. Because that's where you're going if something doesn't change. Now, you might wonder why I bring that up. Listen carefully. It is in this context that Jesus says everyone will be salted with fire. And I'm going to ask you, where's the church? We're the salt of the earth, right? We're the light of the world. We're supposed to show the world that's in the darkness about the light. We're supposed to be flavoring the world so this stuff cannot happen, right? See, the gospel is not your private secret. Let your light shine before men. It is not your private secret. We're called understanding that the world doesn't want the salt, doesn't like the light. That doesn't change our assignment. Can you hear the words of Jesus today? For everyone will be tested, salted with the fire. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I do not think we're going to be able to stop this throwing out the salt movement. I do not. But I'm going to give everybody a warning. You had better not go along with it. This is the testing, the salting of fire. I want to take it a step further. The reason I say I don't think anybody's going to stop it, but you better not go along with it, is the generation that is being raised up right now. And if your parents, you parents or grandparents, talk about this LGBT movement in the way that I'm doing right now, they're going to look at you like something's wrong with you already. Already. It's already happened. And I wonder how much longer this sermon will not be a hate crime. Or anybody who speaks, who reads aloud the Word of God. Let no part of your life be connected to this culture that wants to expel the salt while inviting you into the fire of God's judgment. What I'm reading to you today is the testing of the fire. And you know what? The strangest thing of all is many churches are not only silent, they are complicit. It's like, whatever. If your hand tries to become unsalty, tries to take hold of that which is evil, you'd be better to cut your hand off. Cut it off so that you might save the rest of your body from the unquenchable fire of hell. Does anybody listening? And many, especially younger generation, they're really struggling with this. They're really struggling. And you know why the younger generation is really struggling with this issue? It's because most of the older people have sold out. You sold out. Why? To go along with the world. I don't want to cause any trouble. You want me to give up my salt? No. I can't live without salt. If I give up this salt, I'm going to die. Death is being held back by this salt. And without even knowledge, we're leading this next generation of children into the darkness. And where's the church? For everyone will be tested with fire. What did you think it meant? Let's go to the next verse. This is right after the hand. Cut the hand off. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter into eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with 2 feet. What's the context? Anyone who would lead children into sin. If a part of your body, one of your feet, desires to become unsalty and walk from away from the life-saving light and truth of the gospel, cut your foot off. You'd be better off to enter into heaven with 1 foot missing than to enter into hell with both of them intact. Can somebody tell me why? You say you're in the room today or you're listening online today and you say you believe in Jesus and you ignore what he just said. Really? Jesus talks a lot about hell. It's an unquenchable fire. And everyone will be salted with fire. It's the testing. We've done your hand, you did your foot, and now your eye. Again, the context is if you would lead a child into the darkness. Mark 9:47. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. If one of your eyes starts to look for a way to escape the salt and the light, the truth, pluck it out and save the rest of your body from the unquenchable fire where the maggots never die, where the fire never stops, it never goes out. Salt and fire. Can anybody see it? Can you live without salt? You will die without salt. It is an external power, which means you can't save yourself. Fire is the testing that everyone must endure. The testing is the time of choosing. Everybody right now, you know what you're doing? You might not even know you're doing it. You're choosing truth or you're choosing lies. You think going along with the world looks easier at times, but not if you give up your salt. Fire is the testing that everyone must endure, the time of choosing the truth or the lie. You need to understand the spiritual truth. God allows testing. God, listen, I'm going to use the word carefully. God allows and sometimes initiates testing. He does it to make you a winner. He does it to make you stronger. God tested Abraham. How? He tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, take him to the region of Moriah, put him on an altar, put a knife in him, set him on fire. God's testing Abraham. Why? To make Abraham stronger in his faith, to make Abraham a man of God through which he will build a family of God, the children of God. Abraham passed the test. Abraham's a winner. How did he pass the test? He heard the word of God. He believed the word of God. He lived the word of God. He obeyed the word of God. God does not tempt. Satan tempts. And you know why? He tempts to make you a loser. He puts in front of you the idea that somehow or another I can make peace with the world and still maintain friendship with God. It's a lie. Satan tempts to make you a loser. Let me read it to you. James 1, verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Patiently endure. You know what that means? You're not overcome by neither. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised, that God has promised, that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me, because God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone. It's not God doing it. Temptation comes from our own evil, our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow without salt, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to that which salt could have stopped, death, hell. Satan is powerful. I don't want to give him credit, more credit than he needs, but I got to tell you, Satan is powerful. And he is a master deceiver, and his temptation power is supernatural. You will need the full power of Christ to overcome this tempting power of Satan. Do you doubt that? Because I know there's a lot of people who have this spiritual arrogance. And the spiritual arrogance, like, well, he can't touch me. And you know what? I understand some of that is just pure faith. But there's also an arrogance that makes me a little bit nervous. I can tell you this spiritual arrogance is dangerous. It's dangerous. He is a supernatural being. And he's taken down a whole lot of spiritual people. A whole lot. Why? Because they trust in the power of themselves to overcome the adversary. And you and I don't have enough power to overcome him. Only Jesus has power to overcome him. I want to read it to you. 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. When you are tempted, God will always give you that one moment, that one glimmer of hope, that in that moment, there's a time to flee. When Joseph was grabbed by Potiphar's wife, there was a moment, run! But she's got my jacket. Run! on. It is your moment of escape. I heard Bob Russell years ago make a statement. He says, if you don't plan to go in the house, stop walking around on the porch. You think you can play with sin? You think you can dabble around the edges? No, you can't. You can't do it. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. The testing, the fire, the salting, the time of choosing. Today, I implore you, I beg you, choose life. A salty life. These are the words of God through Moses to the people of Israel, and they have not changed today. In Deuteronomy 30:19, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call heaven and earth as a witness, to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice. You can. Yes, you can today. I don't know how much longer you're going to get to, but you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, committing yourself fully, wholeheartedly toward Him, firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. Salt and fire. Do you believe in the salt and do you believe in the fire? I can tell you one day you will believe in both. There is a fire of opposition that God can actually use to strengthen our faith. But know this, there is also a fire of judgment for those who surrender their salt and find favor with the world. So let me summarize and I'm going to wrap this up. Much of the practicing church in America has lost its salt. The time of fire and testing has caused many of them to surrender their salt to avoid the fire of testing, to go along, to make peace with the world, to go along. This abandonment of truth is causing the next generation of children to fall into the darkness of sin. That's why I said earlier, if you take young people from high school age on down and you start talking negatively in some light like homosexuality or transgender or this LGBT movement, or not just that, listen, any sexual sin. And if you're in the room today and you're an adult heterosexual and you're living outside of marriage, there's no difference. You're just pretending. But you take this next generation, you say anything about the LGBT sexual movement, they're going to look at you like you're something, you're old fogey. There's something wrong with you. Because the church failed them. The American church failed them. You abandon the truth for a lie. What, to make friends with the world? You want me to give up my salt? The thing that sustains my life and holds back my death. You want me to give that up? Okay, world, can you sustain my life? No. Can you stop my death? No. Can you give me eternal life? No. Then why would I give up my salt? Why would you give up your salt? I told you in the beginning that you can't live without salt. You'll die without salt. You won't be able to think without salt. Because it's what supplies power to the brain that enable you to think logically. You won't be able to think without salt. I told you in the beginning that salt holds back decay. It is a preservative. It holds back rot, decay, death itself. Holds it back. Has power. Do you know the Bible declares a time when the salt's going to be taken off of the earth? The salt of the earth will one day depart from the earth and decay and destruction are going to come in a way that no human can comprehend it. Do you know about this salty departure? I'm going to read it to you. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, will be revealed, the one who brings an unsalty destruction. I inserted that unsalty word. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. And don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what's holding him back, don't you? Do you? Surely you do today. It's the salt. Salt is holding back the decay, and light is holding back the darkness. For he can be revealed only when his time comes, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. And then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the splendor of his coming. I wonder how many people hearing my voice today actually believe that. Salt and fire. For everyone will be tested, salted with fire. It's your time of choosing. Choosing. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah prophesied more about the coming of Christ than any other Old Testament prophet. And do you know what the final verses of Isaiah say? I want you to think about this text in application to the unloading of your salt, and then talk about taking children into the darkness. I want you to think about that context when I read the last chapter of Isaiah, at least a few verses. This is the future. Unstoppable, the future. When the new heaven and the new earth come. And I will appoint some of them to be my priests and Levites. I, the Lord, have spoken. As surely as my new heavens and earth will remain, so will you always be my people, with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. All humanity will come to worship me from week to week and from month to month. And as they go out, they will see the dead bodies of those who have rebelled against me. For the worms that devour them will never die, and the fire that burns them will never go out. And all who pass by will view them with utter horror. That message of eternal hell and horror is for those who oppose and reject the salt of Christ, and those who are complicit in the leading of children into sin. But I have some good news about the future for those who are tested and salted with fire, and they hold on. They refuse to go along with the world that has rejected the salt of Christ. In the end of the Isaiah, he declares their doom. The next to the last chapter in Revelation declares the reward for salty people. Yes, they survived. They are victorious in the time of testing. Revelation 21:7. And all who are victorious. Do you see the war? Do you see the testing? Do you see the fire? All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be, listen, my children. What's the value of that? My children. You can't live without salt. The salty flavor of Jesus is right now sustaining your life and preserving your life into eternity. And you want me to give up my salt? No. This salt, this message, is holding back the decay and death of the world, holding back the destruction of the coming Antichrist, holding back the destruction of the coming tribulation. The salt of the earth is the message of Christ. He gave himself and this message to his church, his bride. We are the salt of the earth. But if we lose our saltiness in the time of testing, we will be thrown out as worthless. Not my words, his. To live with this salt is to live at peace with God and at peace with others. Our bodies crave it. Our soul needs it. You're going to die a spiritual death without salt. Our bodies, our lives can't produce salt on our own. We have to get it from someone besides us. His name is Jesus. I'm going to ask Chad to come on now. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I get it. But they are not our enemy. They don't have salt. They can't think. They can't see. They are not our enemy. Our calling is to be the light in that darkness, to share the good news. And if they reject it, they reject it. But we have to keep living it. We can't compromise it. Are you salty? First, I'm challenging you this. There are people probably sitting in this room today that you are not salty. You do not have Christ in you. Today, he invites you to come and receive himself. And to the rest of you who do have Christ, let your light shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Those are the last instructions he gave us. It is not our secret. It is our mission. The invitation's open. Let's stand.